Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend En Fuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hello.
We got the show's namesake, BJ Shea, on assignment, doing many things across many multiverses.
He's collecting resources.
Exactly. And running the boards is Joey Deez.
Hey.
On today's show, we will get a review from The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. It's back and Vicky's checking it out.
Yeah.
So we'll get the first impressions of the new season on that. In movie news, is Deadpool 3 confirmed? Interesting. And we're going to geek out, Joe and I, about the latest Magic the Gathering set. It's crazy.
I tap my mountain.
You better tap your snow mountain.
Ooh.
And running the, not running the boards, and we'll get to the geek sheet with Vicky B. The wheels have fallen off because I'm thinking about magic.
Uh-oh.
Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com. Get our blog, podcast, and more. Or, you know, just shoot us a message or any of that. Just search BJ Shea's Geek Nation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, radio.com, and iTunes to find us.
Yes. And, well, first off, Vicky, don't go anywhere.
Okay.
You and BJ watched a bunch of Sabrina, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if he's gone through and finished all of it so far in terms of, like, up until this season.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that you did. And
yes.
Now this is season 4, correct?
Yes, the last season.
Oh, so they are confirming this is the last season.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think it was canceled. I don't know how they're wrapping it up. I'm sure they canceled it before they finished the wrap-up, so
mm-hmm.
It should hopefully wrap up nicely.
Yeah, that's usually what you kind of hope for, because I know that that one of my favorite shows, the Santa Clarita Diet,
mm-hmm.
it sort of wrapped up, but also kind of left it open, but then they canceled it, because that's kind of what Netflix likes to do. I'm really hoping they had this chance, and we're looking for first impressions, no spoilers at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Where did we leave off Sabrina at the end of season 3?
So at the end of season 3, Father Blackwood had some weird egg thing that hatched and said something along the lines of the Eldritch Horror.
Oh, Cthulian Nightmares.
Mm-hmm. So that is what we are going to be dealing with this season. I have only gotten up to, I kind of left off partway because my little brother wanted to watch Tots, so I had to stop. And it was starting, I didn't want to freak him out watching Sabrina.
Gosh,
like, okay,
yeah, right?
Gotta change it. So I've only gone through most of, up to episode 4.
Okay, so you enough mm-hmm. to get a good impression on it at that point.
Right, and so by the end of season 3, there, quick question, Joe, do you watch the show?
I have never seen this show. I have memories of the original, though.
Do not watch the show. You will not like it.
Oh. Does it have time travel?
It did a little bit, kind of. Esque. It's kind of hard to explain because it's like witchcraft and other weird crap going on. I don't think you'll like it for that reason and for other reasons. But at the end of it, there ends up being two Sabrinas because they end up having to break up in two so they could stop the bad from happening. And so what happens is she has to figure out what she's going to do. She is technically the queen of hell, but she also wants to have a normal life.
Oh, of course.
So instead of merging and becoming one, it's like, why don't we have the best of both worlds? One of us will become the queen of hell and the other one will live and be a teenager
and be
a witch and all that stuff. But they do meet up, and they're not supposed to meet up because it can mess up the time continuum. It could basically mess up. It could like change stuff from this dimension and put it into this dimension, or it could just mess up and completely eradicate one dimension. Like
you learn that from Back to the Future.
Yeah, like you're not supposed to interact with yourself. She still does. I do find myself getting super annoyed with her, but then I realize, oh yeah, she's 16. And I'm just like, oh my God, child, knock it off. Listen to your aunts.
Listen to the evil version of yourself.
Vicky, sounds like you're just getting older and having to deal with children.
I know. And it's like, she's not an evil version of herself, but they are trying to figure out how to deal with all this other stuff. The cool thing with the last season I really liked is that you kind of have this impression throughout the series that there's only one type of witch, and they really brought in more witches, different types of witches, because you have
like Wicca and some of that other stuff, too.
There's different lores, there's different gods, and there's different ways to practice. So I really kind of like that aspect and want to learn more. And so we did get a little bit of that last season. So it still kind of follows into this season. So far, I'm digging it, aside from the fact that I want to smack her upside the head and put her in timeout sometimes.
Put her on timeout.
Because I'm getting old, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to be the one to tell you that.
It was a little too quick with that.
You're super young.
Yeah, you're totally super young.
But because we're doing the whole Eldridge thing this season,
yeah.
The timeline slash, you know, realities slash whatever multiverse or whatever universe mm-hmm. they're in,
yeah.
a lot of it gets shifted around just because of the presence of these creatures.
Oh.
So things kind of can go one way or another, depending on what of the Eldritch Horrors appear, I guess.
Oh, neat. That's actually kind of cool.
So there's the episode I'm currently on. It's because one thing happened and it's like, okay, let's make it to where... It's kind of like one of those what ifs, like,
oh,
what
yeah,
if
yeah,
I
yeah.
was this, but he turned it into a reality. It's like, I'm going to be the big, you know, the big boss, basically.
Oh, that's
and
fun.
I always have been, and basically change the way everything is.
Oh.
And so they're trying to figure out how to.
So, yeah, I think it almost sounds like they knew that it was going to end. So we're going to pull out all the stops. We're going to make it all weird. And, you know, at the end, mm-hmm. we'll probably put a nice little bow on it. We hope.
But I mean, it's still fun. It's interesting. They have pretty awesome CGI, I think, for the most part. I'm really excited because this was in the news, and I think we talked about it on a previous episode, that they're bringing in the OG aunts from the Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
The show with, like, Melissa Joan Hart?
Mm-hmm. They're bringing in the OG aunts.
Yeah, I remember aunts, talking about that.
To play their aunts, and I remember seeing a clip of it online where it's like, we're your aunts. We're, you know, Hilda and Zelda. And she's like, what? You're not my aunts? And that kind of falls into the line of the different universes and different timeline situation, things kind of falling apart. So I'm really excited to get to that point. I don't know when that's happening, but I'm very excited. So this and Stranger Things is probably, quote unquote, the scariest things I enjoy watching.
Yeah.
It does have that gore. It's kind of weird, creepy, but it's still palatable if you're like me and you're kind of a chicken.
Perfect. I know one thing that you love, and I think all of us have loved, was Deadpool. Mm-hmm. Like, those movies are just so much fun, and you're able just to kind of...
My dad loves Deadpool.
Really?
He loves the movie.
That is great. I love that, because also on top of that, they're filthy. Like,
yes.
If you watch the ending of Deadpool 2, spoiler alert, Juggernaut has a bad day. And so I'm not going to get into it, but also, not for kids... But on that same note, they did make a PG-13-ish version mm-hmm. of it, which kind of skips all of that stuff. But the one big thing that happened was when all the mergers happened and they ended up getting all of the movie rights from Fox, Marvel did, what was going to happen to Deadpool? Well, come to find out, Kevin Feige has confirmed that the foul-mouthed mercenary played by Ryan Reynolds will officially join the MCU. And he will keep his R rating. So we will still have rated R Deadpool, which a lot of people were afraid of that not happening. Unfortunately, right now, they're not even going to look to be filming this until 2022 at the earliest. But this means that he's going to be in the MCU. This is super exciting just in terms of, like, I want to know how he's going to be dealing with just... All of, like, I mean, we've got mostly kind of serious-ish characters when it comes down to all of it. We're not grimdark like the DC Universe, but there's still not necessarily anybody who acts like Deadpool at all in this stuff, which I think is probably a good thing when it comes mm-hmm. down to it. So I was trying to look and trying to figure out ways that possibly some good theories that would come out. And of course, I found it on Comic Book Resources, how they could introduce Deadpool into the MCU. First off, Deadpool travels through the multiverse, which would kind of make sense in terms of, like, the time traveling stuff, because if you remember at the end of Deadpool 2, he kind of goes through the time travel things, and a lot of the times when dealing with time travel in the MCU, they've been really kind of regarding that as going through the quantum realm and basically going through multiverses while time traveling as well. So I wonder if they're going to be dealing with that as well. And essentially, that's kind of what they're seeing with it, especially in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Time travel worked with an entirely different way, and the consequences for changes weren't the same. That means different forms of time travel could actually kind of make that happen, and the multiverse is one of those things that ends up happening with all of that. So, I mean, that could work.
Hey, I'm down for that.
Yeah. Another thing is they're just saying that maybe the Deadpool films are just retconned into the MCU, which is just to say, hey, they've already been around and maybe he's already been there. There are some theories about how mutants have already secretly existed in the MCU or were created following the use of the Infinity Gauntlet. One of those things was that when Thanos explodes them, mm-hmm. the fact that at the end of Endgame or at the beginning of Endgame, because mm-hmm. that's how they find him, that signature of the usage of the Infinity Stones, when he destroys them, you can't necessarily destroy them, but they're literally sending out the particles into the universe at that point, and those things essentially kind of imbue themselves into people things, and that's what creates the mutant gene.
I don't like it.
Yeah, it's a really far-fetched sort of
especially
thing on
especially because that basically kills any of the mutant past, like Magneto and him being, you know, in a concentration camp and all that stuff. Like, it's just basically like, mutants start today.
Yeah.
Go. Mm-hmm. I don't like that.
It could be the thing that the stones control our fabric of our universe and the makeup of the time of the universe. So
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, they go through the entire, like, you know,
it kind of rewrites
cosmos.
Everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which, you know, I don't like time travel, but hey.
But I mean, I like that better than the first one.
And then finally, they just sit on theories. And this is almost essentially kind of like production theories. Like, the first one was absolutely like, oh, hey, time travel, that could happen in a multiverse in the storyline. The second one, not so much. And the third one, they're just saying, maybe it's just a soft reboot for Deadpool. They don't call it Deadpool 3, because at this point in time, it's just the working title. That they might just, since even, I don't think that they've had a lot of numbers since even Iron Man 3 was kind of like the last time, or even like Thor was like, not Thor 3, it was Thor Ragnarok.
Yes.
So, or even Thor the Dark World. They didn't really want to go with those numberings. So they're saying maybe just have it just be like Deadpool something, or just Deadpool at this point. It'd be kind of interesting to see where they go with that. So that's kind of where they're figuring how it could just be. And I mean, even they're just saying, hey, he could just exist in the MCU.
Sure.
Like, it's just, he's been around, he's been doing things, but since he's just a low-level mercenary, I mean, like, there's a lot of these, they're kind of like settings in terms of, or like tiers of heroes. We've got the street-level heroes, the Daredevils, the Spider-Man, who actually ends up going from like street-level to global-level to even cosmic-level, because he goes out in space during Endgame, and so... You kind of see where there's going to be a lot of heroes out there that people aren't necessarily even going to be knowing about.
Deadpool in space with Cable would be pretty cool.
I kind of hope so. And in the comics, they did have the Deadpool and Cable comics. Like, they're tied in pretty well together. And the fact that they even want to do something in terms of like an X-Force. Like, if they bring in X-Force with Cable and Deadpool, like... And Domino, I'm in. Like, you have those three as the base, then you can figure out everything else from there.
And they meet up with the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
That would be a
why
funny
not?
Riff.
You know, yeah, do sure, it. Why not? So, super exciting for that. So, I'll have to see where that goes. I'd love to hear other people's fan theories, because that's one of my favorite things, is trying to suss out what's going to happen. And since this isn't even going to start filming until 2022, which means like a 2023, 2024 sort of release... Yeah. Who knows what's going to happen, unless they just surprise the hell out of all of us. Still speaking about MCU, Kevin Feige did address Luke Cage and Jessica Jones apparently possibly returning.
Woo!
Yeah, we don't know for certain, but obviously the studio's booked solid for the next few years with all of their stuff. The producer says never say never when it comes to Marvel characters. So it was still along those lines of, we don't necessarily know what's going to be happening, but since they're still a part of the MCU, because, I mean... They do make references to stuff in the Netflix shows, right?
Yes, they do reference like the big events that go on, depending on where they are, what season, whatever.
Yeah.
So they definitely do reference everything. I kind of wish, you know, there's that meme that went around when Doctor Strange opened all the portals and it's them popping out. And
yeah.
I'm like, oh, that would have been cool. But
yeah, I kind of do that, right?
Like, just a bonus scene, just a fan. What is it? What do they call it? Fan.
Oh, fan service,
fan theory. Service just for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Please, just for me.
Just for you. I love it. And again, like, I hope they can bring all of those people back. I mean, we've already hoped that Charlie Cox would be Spider-Man's lawyer.
Yeah.
Especially kind of what happened at the end of Spider-Man Far From Home.
And I mean, if
he's
we got...
He's going to need a lawyer up, everybody.
And if we get Daredevil as a lawyer, then, I mean, Vincent D'Onofrio as Spidey's villain.
Ooh.
Kingpin villain. Because that's what my dad...
Yeah.
I think I might have mentioned it on the podcast. My dad and I had this conversation about how he would love to see... what's his name? Jason Statham as a Spider-Man villain. And I'm like, okay, well, we already have a Vulture. He's like, what would you like to see him as? Because I'm thinking he's bald.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know, the Kingpin. I'm like, dad.
Yeah, no.
I put on my best Charlie Day face, crazy face with the board behind me. I'm like, no, dad. We have Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin. And I just went off. I'm like, you need to watch Daredevil because he is this blah, 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 blah. But like.
Now I'm trying to think of what character would I want Jason Statham to be? And I know, like
the Rhino.
No, I feel Rhino needs to be a bigger, beefier, not Paul Giamatti kind of guy. So, I mean, but again, look what they did with the Hulk, the guy who played Hulk,
Mark Ruffalo.
Like, he's not, and then they made him look like a Hulk.
Like,
so,
and
I mean,
it depends on what kind of Rhino you go for. If you're thinking, an actual Rhino-esque humanoid thing,
yeah,
then that's always CGI. But, I mean, if you're putting him in a Rhino costume, like a robot thing?
Oh, yeah, like a robot suit sort of thing. Yeah, I could kind of see that.
I mean, sure.
Yeah, right, exactly. But I'm very intrigued by the Statham thing. People, send us your theories. I'm very excited about that.
That was something my dad did, and I'm like, no, Dad, not Kingpin, because we have a Kingpin.
Not today.
Maybe that's what I'll make him watch today.
Joe.
Hey.
How excited are you for, I almost want to call this the Elder Scrolls Skyrim Magic the Gathering?
Yeah, definitely.
Because Kaldheim is the 86th Magic expansion, and this set is a top-down Norse mythology-inspired set.
It is.
And now the interesting part about this is when we say top down, what it means is that they don't worry about the mechanics first. What they do is it's kind of like with Innistrad, how that was a horror themed top down. They're like, what's cool about horror? And we're going to try to fit those into magic cards. And they really did this with Kaldheim. And I'm really, really excited because they're really taking, they kind of kitchen sinked this one. Like, it almost reminds me of some of the more complicated sets back in the day, like Time Spiral, where they were just throwing in a lot of mechanics that you might already remember, which was kind of surprising to me because I thought they were going to shy away from this stuff.
Yeah, for me, if you remember in the last set, they kind of went with the D&D classes to create creature types.
Yeah.
Now, this set kind of feels like you're in the D&D campaign, and they're like, what would you find in this campaign? Yetis, berserkers, giants, random equipment on the ground, vehicles. And then they tell a story.
Yeah, and so the storyline with this is that the planeswalker Kaya visits a world of prophecy and legend, mortals and monsters, a world of many realms, epic sagas, bound by one truth. Viking or Valkyrie, elf or dwarf, all belong to the world tree. All are supplicant to the gods. Gods who travel between the realms to do their bidding for peace, for bloodshed, or for their own amusement. Very reminiscent of not only the Norse gods, but I mean, really all of the gods at this point. But what if there's a way to harness this power? A weapon with the ability to protect all. A weapon of pure strength, forged for a god, or in more creative hands, a weapon of unimaginable chaos.
Chaos.
The world tree is the origin of all life on Kaldheim, and you can see the branches in the sky in all 10 realms. However, they look different in each realm. The 10 realms are constantly shifting and moving around the world tree and can even collide. Such an epic event is called the Doomscar and causes earthquakes, destabilization, and total chaos. Very reminiscent of Ragnarok and many other things going along those lines. And we just kind of wanted to run down. They've spoiled a lot of cards. But I wanted to go down some of the mechanics. First off, they brought back the dual face cards, which are these ones look to be the modular cards in terms where you can cast them as either one side or the other.
Yeah, they're not like flip cards where they need a condition to get to the other side. The dual cards are the ones you just have the option, similar to the lands, if you remember, where you can play it as a forest or a plains.
Yeah, and a lot of the gods are either the god or an equipment or a bird or some sort of different thing that they are, which kind of represents the Roman gods going down to earth and incorporating either animals or pieces of armor or equipment or any of those things. So you have just a ton of different gods across all of the colors. One of the new abilities is called Foretell, which says during your turn, you may pay 2 colorless mana and exile this card from your hand face down, kind of like a morph. But this is a morph for spells that says cast it on a later turn for its Foretell cost. So one of these big cards is Starnheim Unleashed, which is 2 colorless and 2 white for create a 4/4 white angel warrior creature token with flying and vigilance, and if the spell was foretold, create X of those tokens instead. So on a turn before, you can pay 2 mana, put it off to the side, and wait till suddenly you have XX in white, and you spend, say I spend X mana would be like, say I spend, I don't know, like 10 mana on that. That breaks down to 5, so you would have 4, so 11 mana. Maybe you've managed to get a whole bunch of that. Maybe you're playing Commander and you can do all of that. Suddenly you have 5 angels as opposed to just the 1. So that's kind of how they're going along those lines with it. There's even Boast, which is activate this ability only if a creature this creature attacked this turn and only once each turn. So one of the big ones on this one is a black angel named Eradicator Valkyrie, which is flying lifelink hexproof from planeswalkers, which is an interesting kind of point with that.
Yep.
With its Boast, you pay 1 colorless and 1 black to sacrifice a creature, and each opponent sacrifices a creature or planeswalker. Very powerful because you get to choose your creature, and then when it comes down to it, they can choose their creature, but usually you're going to be using it when it's the most beneficial for you. How do you feel about this set, Joe?
It's interesting. From a limited perspective, it's designed to slow it down because the foretell mechanic says to skip your second turn to then cast a more powerful spell for a cheaper cost, which in general will mean that, well, if you're not playing a 2-drop, then you're not being aggressive and you're not attacking your opponent.
Yes.
Which is, I think, great because it kind of addresses at least the issue of, well, if we make a really powerful limited format, how does the aggro deck not dominate? How do we get to have cards that cost 5 or 6? Because there are a lot of big giants in this set that you want to cast, but
yeah.
There have been sets similar to this that kind of failed in that sense where you would never get to 6 or 7 mana, so you could never take those cards in limited.
Yeah.
So I do like the idea of, all right, well, I'm going to foretell this, and if it's still hidden information because it's face down, so you don't have to worry about your opponent knowing it's going to be cast, and also kind of adds a layer of, will my opponent play around the correct card knowing that I do have a card with the foretell text on it in limited?
Yeah, and I mean, that's one of those big things, too. When you're doing it face down, it's just the fact that you can bluff a lot of things, because even in this set, there is a foretelling counterspell.
Yes.
So if you're playing blue, you can do the old blue mage thing and leave a blue and a colorless open and have an uncovered card, and suddenly your opponent has to play completely different.
Very much so. And unlike the other sets, Foretell isn't designed for just a color or 2 or 3. It's across all the colors in this set. So no matter what deck you draft or what sealed pool you open, you're going to be playing the Foretell mechanic.
And that's like one of the biggest, that's a really good point in that too, because just going back to the counterspell, you can kind of splash a color, surprise the hell out of people, and even if you don't maybe have that available, the threat is always there, or you can kind of get that gotcha moment.
Yeah, and the limited mechanics and the formats in general in these last sets have been very good. If you remember Ikoria with the Monstrous, and they were very skill testing, but they were easy to understand. This set is the same way. Snow in general generally creates a very, very deep draft format, because your picks for lands and cards that matter with snow on them means, well, this only goes into one deck, or maybe it goes into 2 decks, or maybe the archetype in general opens up if you realize I can go 5 color.
And that's one of the interesting things when you mention snow, because the problem I've always found with something along those lines where it's not the main mechanic, but it needs a lot to kind of go into it, that it seems a little parasitic in terms of like, well, if you're going to be doing this, you're going to have to go all in on this. I wonder what they're going to be doing in terms of having snow lands. I know they got snow dual lands at lower rarities, but I just don't know how many snow permanents they're going to be out there. And especially a lot of stuff takes snow. And for people who don't necessarily know this, in order to get a snow mana, you have to tap a snow permanent that adds mana. And it literally will say like snow covered mountain or like snow mountain. So you kind of have to look into those and have those. It seems a little bit of a higher threshold of expertise when it comes down to it, because you have to, it's like a memory thing. And you kind of, I mean, especially if you're going to be going or like dealing with like a pre-release or anything like those lines, and it's like, wherever you're playing this, because I don't know how it's going to be working out at this point. It's always good to just pay attention to your opponent. And it won't matter if you're just playing like on Magic Arena, because you can only do certain things when it comes down to it based off the computer programming. But if you're playing paper with somebody, just make sure that they actually have the snow mana.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really one part I do love about this set is that the snow cards aren't punishing. You can play them for their mana cost because they don't require that specific mana. Their abilities might, but luckily it's kind of like that check. Okay, I have this 4/3 for 4 or something that doesn't really do anything. But if I have 3 snowmen, all of a sudden it can return to the graveyard from the battlefield, which is incredible because that does add to that layer of, well, I can take this card, and if I don't end up in the snow deck, it's not just terrible and I can't play it.
Exactly. There are a ton of new planeswalkers. Tybalt comes back. One of the worst planeswalkers ever turns into one that isn't actually so bad.
Yeah, and he's still 2 mana.
And it's kind of entertaining to see where he's going to be going with that. I love the art for all of these. They're bringing back sagas, which makes sense in terms of what they've been doing. And that's usually the borders and the art. It just looks amazing. But they'll do usually 2 to 3 different things as they come down. And after the third time they do something, they'll go away. And usually you can bring them back, have some fun, especially if you can dink around with some enchantment recursion.
Yeah, and if you haven't checked out these sets, Wizards has done this thing where they do alternate arts for all of their sets differently, though. They're not always the same borders and stuff like this, and their showcase arts for this are incredible. They look like old-school Magic D&D art.
Yes!
And, like, that's not something that you find in many games where they're like, we're going to make a set with one version art, and then literally every powerful and mythic rare and all that have a completely different art, and the art on them, so flavorful.
Yeah, I love all of this. It looks so beautiful, so much fun, so I'm super excited to get down and start playing some more Wizard Poker. We mentioned the fact that there's vehicles. They're like they're bringing back Changeling, which basically means the creature who has Changeling has every single creature type. So it's a spirit, it's a monkey, it's a ape, which are do different things, by the way. It is a beast, it's all sorts of different whatever you want it to be.
It's a yeti, it's a giant,
it's a sliver. This counts for a commander.
That's true. And an elf, which is a huge theme in this set, and I know elves are a huge staple in Magic, so it's great to see that they're coming back, and they're coming back in multicolor form. So you can't go wrong with this set.
No, not at all. Super fun to see all of this. Very excited to see where all this is going. And even more of the previews are coming as we go. And even more have dropped since we've talked about this. Let us know what your favorite part about all of this is and get to us. But now it is time to get to
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
All right, Vicky, what do you got?
So there's a lot of times you're watching a movie and there's an actor or a character that just steals the show.
Totally.
And so Cracked.com came out with an article of multiple movies that pick the wrong character as the star, basically.
Okay.
So I'm curious to see if you guys agree with this or not.
Yeah, let's see where they go with this.
First one, or number 25, I guess, because they're going backwards here, is Quicksilver in the X-Men movies, not the MCU.
Yes, absolutely.
I think they spent the most money on his sequences because they were that badass.
And they were so fantastic. And like the kid playing him was really good at it. And I can't remember his name. I know he's done a bunch of other stuff as well, but he was super great at it. Out of both of the Quicksilver representations, I thought his was the best.
So in the X-Men movie, remind me, which one was that?
He was the one with the second one. And so he was
Evan Peters.
Yeah, running super fast. I think he was in Kick-Ass, right?
Yes, it's funny because both guys in Kick-Ass both played Quicksilver.
He was the non-Kick-Ass Quicksilver, whereas the MCU Kick-Ass, or the MCu Quicksilver, was Kick-Ass.
So he was in X-Men Apocalypse, X-Men Days of Future Past.
Days of Future Past
X-Men
was great.
X-Men Dark Phoenix, apparently.
And Dark Phoenix and Apocalypse don't count. Those aren't movies. Don't worry about them.
They're hot garbage.
They are. Yeah, so...
But Days of Future Past was actually... I mean, X-Men First Class was the best out of all the new ones. Days of Future Past was still passable.
Mm-hmm.
After that, just...
Nope. And the Quicksilver character was just badass. I just loved how laissez-faire he was.
I would love to see more of him.
And he's the one who moves fast.
Yes.
Yeah. But he's super not fast. The one who you... Like, who's the guy... I don't... What am I thinking of? Who's all silver from the Fantastic Four? Who's that?
Silver Surfer.
There we go.
So Evan Peters played Quicksilver. That is like his, X-Men name, if you will, or his code name.
Mm-hmm.
Also named Peter Maximoff. He is the son of Magneto and the twin brother of Scarlet Witch.
Which they actually do reference the being the son of Magneto in kind of a off sort of way. Do they? I don't know if they actually meet up.
There's a part where he's like, yeah, no, I knew. It's like, you knew my mom. It's like, oh, something like that. Or,
yeah, yeah. It was very subtle when it came down to it.
I think that was an apocalypse and he almost talked to him about it, but he didn't. So I don't know if they ever explored that or not.
I watched the first 15 minutes and like the last like half hour of Dark Phoenix. Is not good. Like, I like the whole middle part was just like once they like explained Jessica Chastain's character, I was like, I'm on an airplane and I'm stuck on this airplane for 4 hours and I'm still not going to watch this.
It's bad because I really want to watch it for one dumb reason. Mm. From what I read, I didn't even know this character was going to be in it, but apparently Dazzler is in it.
Oh.
And Dazzler does the sparkles, yeah. You know, situation, like musician in the original one. I think in the 70s, she kind of had like this disco vibe with like roller skates and like a white jumpsuit kind of a thing.
Totally.
And later, I think it was the Ultimate X-Men comic series from like the 2000s, which was my intro to the X-Men reading material. She played like this punk rock singer, like with the
oh, cool.
kind of Mohawk-esque looking hairdo. And the actress who plays her plays is also Alara from the Orville. And
oh,
so there's a point, I believe, in season three, or was it season two? Anyway, there's a part where that character, she's like, I'm not going to come back to the ship. I'm going to stay with my family. I feel like I've missed too much time with them.
Yeah.
And they get a new chick to play like something similar to her.
So
I'm thinking she left the show to do Dark Phoenix. I'm like,
sorry.
How did that work for you?
Please come back.
But I'm like, I have such a like girl crush on her. She's so pretty.
Next up.
Next one. Oh, sorry. I got so into the whole world of Evan Peters. Because apparently, yeah. There was, I think, rumors as well that he might be in WandaVision.
I think that they should do that. I think that would be amazing. And again, it opens up the multiverse. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, it just breaks open all the X-Men coming into that. They have to do it. They have to do it. They have to do it now. Right now.
This next one, I believe the original Total Recall.
Okay.
And it should have been the rise and fall of Kuatu and the mutant hookers from Mars.
They just like three boobs.
And the other...
Like, whoever wrote this just likes three boobs.
And the other short hooker.
Yeah. That's right. There was more than one.
So, Mad Max. I very much loved Mad Max, but this person saying should have really been called the Doof Warrior.
The
future
Doof Warrior.
Which, if you guys don't remember who that is...
Yeah.
He was the warrior guy that was just playing the guitar the whole time.
The flaming guitar on the giant stack of amps that was
going
through.
And that's all he did.
Oh, I need to go back and watch that movie again.
Right, it's so good. this one, I don't really know the movie too well, so I can't really say if he was worth it or not. And I'm blanking on the name of the movie, but I know it in my head. It had Harrison Ford.
Air Force One.
No. It's
Blade
Blade Runner.
Yep.
Oh, is it Jared Leto's character?
No, this is the original.
Oh, the original one. Okay.
But it's Rutger Hauer.
Oh, Rutger Hauer.
Uh huh.
Yeah, it's not easy if you
replicant.
Don't know it. Yeah.
Basically, it should have just been about him. This movie.
Yeah. And if you go back, and you can go back and listen, you can just go back and watch that and listen to his final speech.
Mm-hmm.
It's very moving, very awesome. And I mean, literally, you can just look that one up on YouTube. If you don't want to watch the entire movie, which you still should.
Because what they did here in the article, which I'll have posted on Facebook as well, is they kind of made fake, like, movie trailer posters, if you will.
Okay.
So it's like, he has seen things you people wouldn't believe. Oh, man. Instead of the Big Lebowski, it should have been Big Quintana, because nobody's bigger than Jesus.
That's fair.
Like, he was in it for, like, 2 minutes?
Yeah, he's not hardly in it. I'd just be like, I want to see the movie that's just called Shut Up, Donnie, and it's just Donnie and Walter and them just going on their whatever, whenever, like it's almost like, oh, gosh, it was the whole thing. I can't remember the name of it, but it's like the side characters doing their own thing while the main story's going on. Like, I want to see that. I want to just see them, like, what are they doing when the dude is just going around trying to get his rug?
And wasn't there like supposedly going to be a movie about Jesus?
Yeah, it's out.
It's out. Okay.
It's out there. I think it went on Amazon Prime or something along those lines or something like that.
Shows how much I cared.
Yeah, right.
From the studio that brought you Stan Lee's Hef, Michael Pena, Tip T.I. Harris, David Dasmalchian, Wood Harris,
wow,
and
job.
Paul Rudd as Ant-Man presents Marvel Luis.
Yes. Yes,
and
yes.
If you don't remember who Luis is in Ant-Man, he's the Michael Pena's character who basically recaps everything.
Yeah.
Who I still wish he would recap everything that has happened in the MCU.
Well, that's
for
what
fun.
They should do literally is just have him chronologically recap all of the movies. Every single one of them. And just be like, don't have enough time to watch this? Let Luis explain everything. Luis explains it all. I'm in. I want it. Let's do it!
You've heard Clarissa explain it all?
Now Luis explains the MCU.
All right. So instead of the movie Apocalypse Now.
Okay.
How about Napalm Now?
Oh, yeah.
Robert Duvall in Napalm Now.
He does love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Oh.
That's so where refreshing. That line comes from.
This one doesn't really have a change to the name of the movie, but it really does change the placement of the characters in the movie poster.
Okay.
The Matrix, but instead of Neo, it's, I believe, Trinity?
Yes, yes.
As the main character. They should have focused more on her.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. And I'm kind of interested to see if maybe they're going to do something along those lines when it comes down to Matrix 4. Mm-hmm. I'd be very interested to see how they're going to be doing all of that. Because, I mean, a lot of the characters at the end of it die. And, I mean, Neo goes back into the code. Obviously, he's back somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know. This is one of those properties that I'm actually very excited to come back to.
I could see the movie or the show being done through, or well, I guess it's going to be a movie, but
yeah.
It should turn it into a show. It could be done through the eyes of either Morpheus, because Morpheus is a great character, but mm-hmm. Lawrence Fishburne's a little old now, but if it was the Oracle, and the Oracle could see the future, but she had to convince everyone to do it.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
That'd be a good one, too. Yeah, actually, that's solid. Yeah, I like that.
It's weird because I know everyone remembers Carrie Ann Moss from The Matrix,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, I've seen The Matrix, but the one thing I really know her as is in Jessica Jones as
The lawyer.
As the lawyer.
Yeah.
So it'd be weird to go back and see her
and
as Trinity.
And if you want to see her in a completely different role from either of those, go back and watch Christopher Nolan's Memento. She plays a quote unquote sort of love interest, and it just kind of like her and also Joey Pantolone, who was also in The Matrix. He's in that movie as well.
Can I be called Joey Pants now?
Yes.
I want to call you Joey Pantaloons.
Pantaloons. He's so fancy.
All right, I got two more for you that I really like on this list.
Okay.
It really should have been Ben Kenobi, A Star Wars Story. Exile, Protector, Legend.
Yeah, I like that. I hope they're going to do something with that, but who knows?
Well, I think they are doing...
They're doing an Obi-Wan, uh-huh. which will be fun because I don't know where they're going to be going. I don't know if they're going to go with Ben or where the timeline mm-hmm. is. I haven't paid a whole lot of attention to that at this point in time, but I do know that it's going to be Ewan McGregor,
mm-hmm.
and even Liam Neeson has said that he would be okay with reprising Qui-Gon Jinn, which... would be interesting.
I just love Liam Neeson and everything. I'm sorry. It could be garbage, but I would still love to see him in garbage.
He's a little bit older, so I don't know how that necessarily would work out with timelines.
CGI.
But yeah. I mean,
20 years older.
But also at the same point, if you look at the season finale of The Mandalorian with Luke, they did a little bit of de-aging. That was Mark Hamill. So
I think they really should just spend the extra money and have both Mark Hamill and... crap, Bucky Barnes.
Sebastian Stan,
because if you've seen pictures of them side by side, like
yeah,
young
it's
Luke,
uncanny.
So, I mean, use Sebastian Stan and then just kind of alter it a little bit using his face.
But to be honest, if they're going to do using any like sort of things along those lines, like they need to get a little bit better when it comes down to the CG, because I'll be honest, like the Reface app on my phone is kind of better than some of the stuff that they've been using a lot of the time. So,
and you have facial hair, so it gets a little weird.
Yeah, it is not great. All right, one more?
One more, and I'm only picking this one because you'll love it.
Okay.
The movie should have really been called Waiting for Ripley, and it's just a picture of the cat. Whatever.
Yeah! Yes! That cat! It's like that cat's the best thing about all of the, it's not the best thing about the aliens, but also the cat, Ripley, and Newt are the ones that make it through, and you got to respect that when they are allowing the cat to get through all of it.
Well, until next time, guys, stay nerdy.